Praise the Lord. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Good to see y'all here this evening. Looking forward to our service tonight. And like I said, we just want to welcome everybody watching on the live feed or that will be watching this at a later date. You're all welcome. We love each and every one of you. Let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we open up our service. Just love the Lord this evening. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you this evening. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and grace. Dear Lord, we just want to lift you up and honor you. Dear Lord, may we just praise you. Dear Lord, may we just put everything into your perspective, dear Lord, as we come to you, dear Lord, humbly. Dear Lord, as we open up this service, Lord, may we just turn everything that's distracting us off, dear Lord, may we just release ourselves to you and be ready for your service. Lord, again, thank you for each and every one here this evening, whether they're here live or watching on the feed. Lord, we just ask for your blessings. Dear Lord, now you see the hands that were raised. You've heard the prayer requests. Lord, you know those needs, dear Lord, those that have lost a loved one, those that are in situations, dear Lord, beyond their control. Dear Lord, we're asking you to heal their bodies. Mend them, dear Lord. Bring them back, dear Lord, to that wholesome, dear Lord, that only you can do. Lord, we're thanking you again for your many, many blessings. Lord, we're giving you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. Again, welcome. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Praise the Lord. Are you washed in the blood? Let's all just sing up, just worship the Lord.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are you white as snow?
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Blood of
You may be seated. Just praise the Lord. We're going to get ready and take up our evening offering and then call on a few special singers. Just want to mention, as far as announcements, the only thing I've got up here right now is just to remind the gentlemen, the men that ordered their Banner Brothers t-shirts or wanted one, I've got them. So if you'll get with me, and these next few weeks we'll be able to hand them all out. We just love each and every one of you. We will be scheduling our holiday meeting, and I'll give that to you, each and every one of us, shortly. Praise the Lord. Any other announcements? All righty. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another wonderful day, Lord, for being with us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for each and every one today to come out tonight, Lord. Bless all those that are not able to be here tonight, Lord. Bless them, whether it be sickness in their body or sickness in their soul. We know, Lord, you can reach down and touch them, love them, others feel love. Bless this offering, Lord, for the program of our work, Lord. Bless those, all those that have to give, especially those who don't. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Jim, if you're ready, come on up, brother. And then Sister Misty, you'll come after him, and then Miss Tabitha. Thank you. And then Miss Jim.
Yes. Praise God. Sunday night.
Yes, amen.
You know, I drive from the other side of town, and I pass about four or five churches on the way, and it's amazing to watch the turnout on Sunday nights. It's some of them are getting back, some ain't. But, you know, it's good to be back, be able to come in hours, you know.
Amen.
You know, this song I'm going to do for you, you know, Brother Eddie's messages the last few Sundays, you know, has kind of touched a little bit on this song, you know. With all the things that's going on in the world today and around us every day, you know, we don't know who the next president is going to be. We don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I have no clue. But there's one person that does. And I put my faith in him. You know? And that's the thing we got to do. Is like I told one of the brothers this morning. We're sitting back there. And asked him, how's it going? He says, one day at a time. I said, well, that's the way we got to do it. One day at a time. He says, because I thank God when I got up this morning and I got a reason to make it through the day. And that's all we can do. So this song pretty much says that, you know, we don't know who holds what tomorrow's going to bring, but we know who holds tomorrow,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brother.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't see to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one that feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't see to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, and I know who holds your hand.
just want to say before I sing that Brother Jim sang that song, and that song has been on my heart for weeks. If you go back to my Facebook a couple weeks ago, I actually posted that. And I just sing it over and over and over again. I don't know why sometimes songs will just drop down in your spirit and you can't get rid of them. So thank you for singing that for me tonight. But I want to say it's good to have my mama back in church. I was thinking when I was up here this morning singing, if you don't believe in miracles, that lady's a miracle right there, because on her discharge papers it said critical condition. And I'm just thankful he raised my mama up, that he chose to leave her here with me for a little while longer. And Chris too. He, you know, was in the hospital as well. We were just all very sick at one time, and so many were, but I was really worried about my mom, that she wasn't going to make it, but God brought her through, and I'm very thankful tonight. Y'all worship with me. I'm going to sing the Revelation song.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Your name,
Sometimes it takes a mountain.
I face a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Oh, but this, I must admit, has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say, oh, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you.
Praise God. He's still God on the mountain, isn't he? God in the desert, no matter what the situation or the location, he's still God. We're so blessed tonight to have Brother Chris is going to bring the message for us tonight. Brother Chris, Brother Jim, you have a testimony while he's coming. Praise God.
She went back to the doctor this past week. She told her doctor that. The doctor looked at her and said, you know what? Somewhere down the chain, this young man is in your blood.
Well, glory. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey. God likes to work when nothing else will, so that he'll get the glory. Amen. Brother Chris, come take your liberty in the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. He's still a miracle worker.
Yes, he is.
Amen. He's still on the throne. Amen. He knows what he's doing. Amen. We don't always know what we're doing. Not many amens there. It's all right. We don't always know what we're doing, but he always knows what he's doing. Amen. He's going to give me the power. Amen. God is good, isn't He?
Amen.
You know, I am thankful that He's still on the throne. I'm thankful that when 2020 came along, God didn't look around and say, what am I going to do? He already knew. As I look around in the world today, this message that the Lord gave me really stirs in my heart. Brother Eddie has been preaching a lot of really awesome messages, has he not?
Yes.
Amen. And hallelujah, we're good now. And I believe the Lord is trying to get us to wake up, to pay attention. A lot of times we're too busy looking at what's in front of us. We can't see what's down the line. If I had a title for the message this evening, it would be Thy Kingdom Come. Luke chapter 11, verse number 2 is where we're going to start. Very well-known passage of Scripture. Luke 11 and 2. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Brother Eddie, would you open with a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, how grateful and thankful you are for your presence tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your miracles, God, for the testimony you raised. Father, I ask you to offer the Christian. God, let the Holy Ghost speak to us, God, that it might produce growth and edification in our spirit. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. All the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask you.
Amen. There are many titles that I go by that are an honor to me. I go by son, husband, father, dad, son-in-law. I have a nickname that I go by. I'm also called boss. But of all the things that I could be called, a child of God is the greatest. A child of God is the greatest. When I think about that I am a child of God, it kind of makes me feel like, you know what? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Too often times we as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, we forget who we are. We forget where our place is. We look around at the things that are in the world today and we wonder who's going to be the next president. We wonder who's going to be in our Senate. We wonder who's going to be in our government. Need I remind you, child of God, you're not a citizen of this land. There is a king. Somebody needs to hear that. There is a kingdom coming that you belong to that will never fail, that will never end. There was no beginning and there will be no ending. Somebody says, I don't know what we're going to do if this person gets to be the president. I know what I'm going to do, because my kingdom that I belong to, you're not going to vote God out of it, because He rules and He reigns. My Bible tells me that He sets the kings and the princes in order. I've even gone so far as to study, do you know that He sets the boss that's over you in order? Over you. Some people say, bless God, I just dislike my boss with a passion. You better woe up. You better read the word. Because God put that person over you. You know why? So you could pray for them. So you could pray, amen or oh me. You know, think about that when you're going to work Monday morning. Well, bless God, I got to pray for them. Yes, you do. You're required as a saint of God to pray for those in authority over you. You are required to do that. You are required to pray for the president. It doesn't matter if you agree with him or not. You are required, because you know why? He is the president and God put him in the place he's supposed to be in. The next president, God's going to put him in the place where they're supposed to be in. I'm trying to make a point here. There is a kingdom that we need to get our eyes on. Get off of the worldly kingdom and get on the earthly kingdom. You see, God, as He sits and He rules and He reigns, you got to understand, if He reigns, He's a sovereign reign. He sets everything into order. I made mention this morning in our Sunday school class, when was the last time you laid down and go to sleep and you said, lungs, I sure hope you don't fail me tonight.
No, you don't. Heart, I sure hope you don't quit on me tonight. You know why? Because every night we lay down and we go to sleep. And we put our lives literally in the hands of God. And we say, God, what you've set in order is going to keep going in order. You see, Ezekiel mentioned this. He said, I saw, as it were, in Ezekiel chapter number 3, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. That's the will of God. And when we're in the will of God and we're children of God, God is going to take care of us. God, somebody needs to hear that. You need to quit worrying.
All right.
Quit worrying. Stop worrying. Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. My Bible tells me that perfect love casteth out all fear. Why are you worried about what's going to happen? There's a king on the throne. Why are you worried about what tomorrow holds? There is a king on the throne. This is the same king that whenever he created darkness and light, did you know that when he spoke it into existence, he separated the light from the night, and he called the light day and the darkness night in the book of Genesis. Did you know that that's still going on? That's still happening. We still have days and we still have nights. Nobody has to jump up and say, all right, daytime is time to be daytime. No, God spoke it and it was. God, that's how much power God has. God spoke it and it was. Whenever Jesus came across the centurion and the centurion said, my child is sick. And Jesus said, well, we need to go see where he's at. And he said, no, if you'll but speak the word, he'll be made whole. And Jesus stopped and he said, greater faith have I found nowhere. Just speak the word, Lord. Speak the word. It's time for we as Christians to really bombard the altar and say, God, it's not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, not my throne, but it's thy throne, God. Your throne is holy and it's righteous and it's way above any other. And there's nothing ever going to stop that. There's nothing. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, is what Jesus told Peter. They're going to come close, but they're not going to prevail. Why? Because Jesus rules and he reigns. He rules and he reigns, and he's not going to stop ruling and reigning. You can go to sleep tonight, child of God, and know that even if you don't wake up, everything's going to be all right. Even if you don't wake up, everything's going to be all right. People running around in the society we live in, and they're scared to death of everything. They're scared of everything. I remember when me and Tabitha went to Belize. And over there in Belize, they have lizards. But they're big. Them things are huge, right? I mean, like they're like, woo, there's a lizard. You know, now I grew up in Florida and we have lizards, but that's the kind you hang on your ear, little bitty guys. You know, these right here are monsters, right? The people in Belize are used to them. I wasn't used to them. You go walking by, it's like, woo, hey, what is that? He's like, he's not going to bother you as long as you don't bother him. I've heard that story before. Yeah, I don't believe you. But you know, we're walking by this tree and there was the tour guide said, look up in that tree. I looked up there and I got close and I was like, whoo. So that's the biggest lizard I've ever seen in my life. And he was just looking at me. And I thought, you know, how many times do we as Christians walk by things like that? And it scares us. And we're taken back and we say, I'm not going to go, God, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to stand up and testify for you because I saw how those people looked at me. I'm not going to go share the gospel, God, because I know that people are going to say things about me and call me a Bible fanatic and call me a Jesus nut and all this other kind of stuff. I'm not going to do it, Lord. But God said, no, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. I didn't give you that. That came from the devil. If you have that spirit of fear, it came from the devil. And God's saying, no, I want you to go forward. Because my kingdom, you're part of my kingdom. You're a citizen of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. How can I long for a land I've never been to? How can I do that? Because I know that part of me is over there. I know that just a few more days. It won't be long now. It won't be long now and we're going to be passing over. It won't be long now and we're going to be able to see the other side. Somebody said, what's going to make it heaven to you? It's going to be a grand reunion. It's going to be a grand. You remember all the get-togethers, the family reunions we used to have? And people would come out, I ain't seen you in years. Who are you? I'm so-and-so's cousin of cousin and cousin. It's like, wow, I knew we were kin. And we're going to look and we're going to have a glorified body. We're not going to be in this old flesh and bone. And it gets better than that. Oh, hallelujah. I get a little bit excited and I might get a little happy at times. But you know what? When I think about the dead in Christ rising, the Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I was even singing that song that the choir sang this morning. And I was singing the wrong words to it. But anyway, it fit for me. Tabitha had to correct me. She said, "That's not. I see him coming in the clouds. I see him coming in the sky. Sorry. But I can see him coming in the spiritual sense. And I think the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And what gets me happy and excited, Brother Eddie, is I think that the power that took the dead in Christ, the generals that have gone on before, those people that have planted seeds into your life that are the reason why you're sitting where you're sitting today. Come on, somebody. Somebody had to go the extra effort and see something in you and say, I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to plant a seed in that life and keep planting seed and keep planting seed and keep watering it and planting the seed. And now here you sit. We've all got testimonies of that. When I was 5 years old, somebody came and knocked on my mom and dad's door. That's why I'm in church. Somebody came at 5 years old. They came and my mom and dad knew they had to get back in church. But the Bible says that those that are alive and remain. Woo, hallelujah. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Those that are alive and remain will be caught up with those that are already, and so shall we whatever be with the Lord. There's not a 4-year term on this. There's not an 8-year term on this. I hate to tell you, there's not a 40-year limit on this thing right here. The Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That should cause you to shout and realize, hey, there's no expiration date on this thing. When you have a credit card or even a bank card, there's an expiration date on it. When you have a driver's license, there's an expiration date on it. Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, there ain't no expiration date on that. Hallelujah. The light's not going to go out because the power bill wasn't paid. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus is the light. There'll be no more darkness. There'll be no more night. There'll be no reason to have to lock your doors. Why? Because Jesus is the light. It excites me a little bit, and I get a little bit happy when I start thinking about heaven. But I also think about, we heard a song on the way home, an old song. It was talking about Joshua 24:15. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, I believe the Lord is drawing a line in the sand. It was an old Phillips, Craig, and Dean song, if y'all remember that song. Father, I see that you're drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. And it said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, but let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Oh, hallelujah. When the worshipers, when they get their eyes on a kingdom, it's not about earthly business. It's about kingdom business. It's about being kingdom minded in everything we do. We look around and we say, God, why am I in the job that I'm in? Oh, God, you know Monday's coming. Oh, Lord. Jesus, Monday's coming. I hate it. And we go to bed on Sunday night and we say, Lord, you know Monday's coming. You know it is. And God's saying, but you don't understand. I've placed you there where I want you to be. I used to say that a lot. I used to say, my wife could tell, God, why do you have me here? What are you doing? Are you crazy? Me in this place? I don't belong here. And finally, God said, I got you where I want you. I got you where I didn't ask you where you wanted to go. I just want you to follow me. I didn't ask you where you wanted to be. I just asked you to follow me. Because it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about what He wants to do in my life. I'm a little over 42 years old. And there's one thing I've found out. Is when I follow God, my life goes a lot easier. Amen? When I follow what God tells me to do, my life goes a lot easier. When I try to do it my way and try to think, God, I've got all these plans and all this thing, never works out. Why? Because His ways are higher than mine. His plans are mightier than mine. Amen? But He's drawing a line in the sand. Which side are you going to be on? Who are you going to follow?
Isaiah 9. We're getting into, and I don't want to push it. I don't want to rush it. But I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Thanksgiving. Everybody says, we know why. No. I love, everybody that knows me is laughing right now. I love Thanksgiving because it's a season to remind ourselves to be thankful. Amen? To be thankful. But the Christmas season, I think we as Christians, we lose that. We only speak of it maybe 1 month out of the year. We don't really elaborate too much on it. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. And I'm trying to hurry. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Now, Isaiah prophesied this some 600 years before Jesus was born. 600 years. That's a long time. 600 years. That's a long time. Okay? "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." I want to say that again. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Not your shoulder. Not the president's shoulder. Not the king's shoulder. Not the prime minister's shoulder. But shall be upon his shoulder, where it rightly belongs. He rules and he reigns. He is a merciful judge. The government shall be, not might be or we hope to be, but it shall be upon his shoulders. Why? Because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Amen? "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now watch this in verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace," come on somebody, "there shall be no end." That's not Chris. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible, "of his increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." We say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. That's number one. I'm going to trust God. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm going to trust God. Man, I know one thing. I'm going to be on the side with my Jesus, and I'm going to be holding on to his hand. Just in case you're looking for me, that's whose side I'm on. Just in case you wonder where I'm at, that's what I stand for. I'm so tired of Christians walking around saying, "By golly, bless God, I don't know what I stand for. Bless God, I guess they can do this and they can do that." There's still a time when we can call wrong, wrong, and we can call right, right. And it's high time that we as the church, we would stand up in holiness and boldness, and we would say, "That's wrong." Or, "That's right." And we endorse people that are right, that are kingdom minded, because that is what we do. You say, "Brother Chris, I don't think we should get involved in stuff like that." We should support brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we should, because we are the church and we gather together. You say, "Brother Chris, what scripture do you have for that?" Acts chapter number 2. 120 people were gathered together. 120 people were gathered together in one accord. In one accord. They laid aside their political beliefs. They stood up for what was right. They called wrong, wrong. And they said, "You know what? Even though Jesus has gone, we know that there's a promise that he's never going to leave us. We know that there's a promise that he's never going to forsake us." And they got together with 120 people. And they prayed. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And it wasn't a 5-minute prayer. They prayed until the power fell. You say, what's so important about the Holy Ghost power that fell? 3,000 people were added to the kingdom daily. 3,000 people. It's not about a feeling. It's not about an emotion. It's a God thing. It's a kingdom thing. It's a Holy Ghost thing. Amen. Once you get the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, things start looking different, tasting different, smelling different. You act different. You don't talk the same. You don't act the same. Why? Because there's something a little bit different about you. There's something a little bit different about you. When you walk by somebody, they say, "What in the world happened to you?" I want to tell you about a man named Jesus.
Jesus. A man who reached down and he saved my soul and he lifted me up and he washed me clean. That's what it's all about. It doesn't matter what you believe. It's about what God says. Hallelujah. And it's time we look to the kingdom once again. It's time we get our differences to the side and we say, God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Abortion is wrong. I'm so tired of hearing how the babies are dying and the mainstream doesn't say nothing about it. It's wrong. The Bible says thou shalt not kill. The Bible said thou shalt not commit adultery. Pornography is a $1 billion a year business. Why? Because the devil keeps feeding lies. He's feeding lies. You see, every lie that he feeds you, he tries to undermine what God's doing in your life. The devil is no good. He's no good. He's bad. Amen? We know that. Why do we run to him too many times? Why do we forsake God and run to him? Our attitudes, our stinking thinking. We should be heavenly minded. We should say, man, I just don't feel it today. Turn on your worship music and praise the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. I've said this before. When we praise the Lord, the atmosphere changes. Things around us change. Amen? And when God inhabits, that means he brings the U-Haul and he's coming to stay. When we start praising the Lord. When it's the hardest to praise the Lord is when I found he's the closest. The month of October was a very rough month for our family. It was very rough. But you know what? We made it. We made it. We can look in our rearview mirror and we say, there was times when I saw two sets of footprints in the sand. And there was times, more often than not, that I only saw one set of footprints in the sand. It wasn't because God left me. It was because God was carrying me. Come on, somebody. I said he was carrying me. I can remember as a little child, I've told this story before, but I can remember as a little child, I would love to follow my dad. I would love to be in his footsteps. And I'd always love to hold my dad's hand. Man, just you could feel the safeness in my dad's hand. But sometimes when we go for a long walk, or sometimes we go to the mountains and we go for a long hike, and I would get tired. And my dad would pick me up. And when he picked me up, this is all coming back to me now. He picked me up, he would set me on his shoulders. He wouldn't just hold me, he set me on his shoulders. Why? Because I was in a high place. Oh, come on, somebody. My Bible tells me that when Jesus, he comes down and he saves our soul, he sets us on a what? High place. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you alive out there? He sets us on a high place. Hallelujah. He does. Sometimes he holds us and sometimes he says it's going to be all right. But sometimes he picks us up and says, I know you're tired, child of God. I know it's been a hard fight. I know you've been weary. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And listen, that crown is not for him. It's to sit at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because he's holy and he's worthy. Hallelujah. But henceforth is there a crown of righteousness. He was kingdom minded. He was kingdom minded. He said, you know what? Even though I was shipwrecked, I count it as loss. Even though I was beaten a couple times within inches of my life, I count it as loss. Why? Because everything I went through to gain the glory. Hallelujah. To gain the glory. The Apostle Paul said, there is no other sinner that is not worthy. I'm the chiefest of sinners. He knew what he was. He knew what he was. He constantly had to fight that. But God's grace came over him. And it gave him kingdom thoughts. It gave him kingdom thoughts. And I love that because only God could do that. Only God could do that. Luke chapter number 2, verses 1 through 12. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Don't that sound familiar? Don't that sound familiar? I think it's funny, whenever Laz first was working, he got his first paycheck. And he saw how much taxes they take out. He said, "Dad, you know they take that much taxes out." I said, "Son, you want to see mine? It's worse. It'll bring tears to your eyes." That all the world should be taxed. Now, it was a figure of speech. Not the whole world, but everybody in the kingdom was going to be taxed. Fast forward to 2020. We look around and we think, man, what good could come out of this year? Some people are already saying, man, I'm going to stay awake on New Year's Eve, not to bring in 2021, but to make sure 2020 goes away. You know, I'm staying awake. Get out of here, 2020. But you know what? God knows what 2021 holds. Amen. He's already been there. Hello. Amen. That all the world should be taxed. And I'm sure that these people were thinking, another tax? Are you serious? And I'm sure the buzz around town was, can you believe we're already paying this much money in tax? How are we going to afford groceries? What are we going to do? And there was this big turmoil. You say, how do you know that, Brother Chris? Watch what's fixing to happen. And watch how nobody knew it happened. They studied the Bible. They knew the Word. They had the prophets to tell them the Scripture. It was embedded in them. They had the scrolls. They had all this stuff. But they missed it. You know why? Because they were so preoccupied with what was going on at ground level that they couldn't see what was in the spirit realm. They couldn't see that the Savior was coming. They didn't know that the Savior was coming. You see, all the world should be taxed. So Joseph, let's read the Scripture. Joseph and Mary, in verse number 3, and all went down to be taxed, every one into his own city. In verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Anybody that's ever studied that? Woo! That's good right there. He was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room because people were so worried about what was going to happen. Does that sound like 2020 to y'all? People were so worried about what's going to happen next that they couldn't look up and say, there's a Savior. Oh, come on, somebody. There's a Savior coming. Hallelujah. Oh, and the government's going to be on his shoulders. What are you worrying about? There's a Savior coming. Oh, hallelujah. I said, there's a Savior coming. Glory to God. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. A lot of theologians believe that that was none other than Michael, the archangel of war. I don't know if you've ever experienced an angel close up. But we all think that they're these big, beautiful, angelic beings. Michael, the archangel of war, is not described as such. He is a fighter. Some people say, Brother Chris, why would God send the birth announcement of Jesus through an angel of war? Think about that for a minute. Because it is a fight. It is a battle. Satan has already lost. Jesus has already won. It's already done. Amen? It's already done. Come on, somebody. And they were sore afraid, the Bible says. Can you imagine? They were just in a black, dark field, and all of a sudden, whoosh, and they're just standing there. You know, you ever been scared so bad you couldn't breathe? You just, you know? Y'all ain't never been really scared bad. And the angel said in verse number 10 unto them, fear not. Didn't we just say that? Fear not. For behold, in the latter part of verse 10, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto some, no, which shall be unto all creatures. I bring you good tidings. Oh, hallelujah. Of great joy. Oh, hallelujah. The government is upon His shoulders. There is a Savior that was born. Hallelujah. And His name is Jesus, the name above all names. At the very mention of the name, the demons must flee. At the very mention of the name, we must bow and worship. Why? Because there is none greater than He is. There is none greater than He is. No president, no king that ever was or ever will be is greater than my Jesus. Oh, let me say that again. No president or king that ever was or ever will be is greater than my Jesus. Because He rules and He reigns. Hallelujah. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. Let there be a moment of time where it was said that Jesus was born this day on earth. In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A Savior. Let that sink in a minute. A Savior. A King of kings. A Lord of lords. I don't know about you, but I needed somebody to save me. I was hopeless. I was a hopeless case. I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. I needed somebody to reach down and to save me. When you're on a boat in the ocean and the waves get bad and somebody falls overboard, the first thing they do is throw out a life jacket or a life ring or a life raft to you. Why? To try and save you. I was that person out in the middle of the ocean. And I was sinking. You were too. You were too. Amen. Let's get real. You were too. And we needed a Savior. And He came to us in the most uncommon way. As a little child. And sometimes we can look and we can say, how in the world would a Savior come to us? A Savior is supposed to come with all the king attire. They're supposed to have the long train behind them that represents all of, oh hallelujah, glory to God, that represents all of the victories that they've done. They're supposed to have all the entourage with them. They're supposed to have all the bodyguards. They're supposed to have everything with them. That's what we were looking for. But they missed it because He came as a baby. He came as a child. You see, a lot of times in this world, we'll miss it because we're not looking for the right thing. We're not kingdom-minded. And I don't want anybody in this room, I don't want anybody, period, to miss out. Somebody told me, he said, I'll have plenty of time whenever that trumpet sounds. No, you won't. No, you won't. The Bible says, the moment and the twinkling of an eye. You know how fast that is? Faster than you can blink. It's that fast. Faster than you can even think anything. You can't even get a word out in that fast. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. We got to be on guard and we got to be ready. Amen. Revelation 21, and I'm working on getting closed. I'm working on it. I promise. Revelation chapter 21. John the Revelator here. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. It gets better. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God. That was the very same thing that God told Moses. He said, I'll go with you, and I'll be your God, and you will be my people. Oh, hallelujah. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is, get out of the mully grubs. Get your head out of the sand. Because there's a kingdom coming that's intended for you if you're a child of God. Don't let everything you're going through and everything around you get you not kingdom minded. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. One day, Brother Jim, and it won't be long, that eastern sky is going to part. Oh, hallelujah. And we'll be going home, hallelujah. Home is not where I live in Rockmart, Georgia. That's where I stay. That's where I stay on this earth. Home is a land, hallelujah, where moth nor rust can corrupt. The thieves can't steal. They can't break in. They can't destroy. Amen. And God, in verse number 4, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Do you know why God's going to wipe away all of our tears? Because He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. There shall be no more death. Woo! Man, I don't know if you've had to go through death. I don't know if you've had to feel the pain, the emotional. It wears you out. It hurts. There'll be no more death. Woo! Hallelujah. No more funerals. No more sickness. Hallelujah. I said no more sickness. Anybody that's gone through sickness, no more sickness. When I say no more, I don't mean just a temporary reprieve. I mean no more sickness. It ain't never going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because we're in a kingdom. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't have to worry about cancer anymore. You don't have to worry about diabetes anymore. You don't have to worry about blood clots anymore. Hallelujah. Because there is a kingdom that's coming. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Oh, somebody should stand up and say, glory to God, there ain't going to be no more pain. Hallelujah. For the former things, the Bible says, are passed away. You know what that means? You can't even remember them anymore. Glory to God, I can't even remember that anymore. Woo! They sing a song, watching, therefore you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're fighting, striving for the right, you shall wear a robe and crown. I'm going to wear a crown. I'm going to wear a crown. And it says, as soon as my feet strike Zion, I'm going to lay down my heavy burdens, going to put on my robe and glory. And you shout, tell him that story. Soon as I can see Jesus, tell him how I made it over. Put on my robe in glory. Shout, tell him that story. Can you imagine what it's going to be like as soon as these old feet, they touch Zion. These feet, now listen, growing up, I never wore shoes. Mom only had us a pair of shoes for school and church. We didn't wear shoes growing up. Now, I grew up kind of in the city, but we had a rough street. And it was, I mean, I could go out there and I could walk on them, you know, and it didn't bother me. These feet have been a lot of places. But once these feet strike Zion, oh, hallelujah. It's been a long road. It's been heavy at times, but Jesus has always been with me. It's been rough, I'm not going to lie. It's been difficult. I'm not going to try to tell you it hasn't been. The Christian walk has not been easy, but I know that it has been a walk. And I know that when I reach my final destination, come on somebody, there's going to be a reward for me. Hallelujah. And Jesus is going to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into a land of rest. Oh, hallelujah. I don't care what goes on down here. I'm on the side of Jesus. I don't care what goes on down here. What everybody has to say, I'm going to be kingdom minded. I'm going to be kingdom minded. No more sorrow, no more death. Hallelujah, for the former things are passed away. And he said unto the throne, and he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Oh, hallelujah. I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And verse number 6, and he said unto me, it is done. Woo! It is done. Glory, hallelujah. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Verse number 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I cannot close this message without reading verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I hear a lot of Christians, they say, when is God going to say he's had enough? Let me tell you something. God's mercy endures forever. There comes a time when those that are not going to believe, that God will turn his back on them and give them over to what he calls a reprobate mind. They're not going to believe. He's not going to keep preaching out. There comes a line when people always, all the time, they say, but Brother Chris, God is love. God is love. He's not going to let stuff like that happen. He is love, but he's also just. And if he is a just and he is a righteous God, there's a line drawn. Which side are you on? Whose side are you on? I'm not going to be in the middle and say, I'm partially over here and partially over there. No. I'm going to be on God's side. Whose side are we on? Think about it. Are we still over there dabbling in sin? Thinking, I'll be able to stay over here just long enough that I can come back over to this side. It's kind of like the farmer. He's got this big old bull. And he puts a sign out and says, caution, beware of bull. Well, this cowboy goes out there and he's looking around and he says, I don't see no bull. Know where he's at. I don't see him nowhere. I'm just going to walk across this field. Because where I'm going to go, it's a little bit easier. I ain't got to go so far. He gets halfway across the field and all of a sudden he hears, and he looks back, and here comes a bull running at him. The sign was up there, but he got in the fence anyway, thinking that he was smarter than what the sign said. There are signs everywhere. Jesus is saying, turn back. Go the other direction. And we're ignoring the signs. We I speak as a nation, are ignoring the signs. We're turning our back on God, thinking, oh, you know what? We can dabble over here in this. But as long as I can get back to the other side of the fence in time, then I know I'm going to make it. We're not fast enough to do that. We're not. There's no reason for us to live on both sides of the fence. There's no reason. We need to either get in or get out. If you know somebody that is like that, pray for them. Pray for them. I mean, pray for them like it's your son, like it's your daughter. Pray for them like it's somebody that's really close to you. Somebody that's been in church before and was on fire for the Lord and has become cold and complacent. Pray for them. Because now is the time we need to be on guard. Now is the time we need to take up our sword and our shield. And now is the time we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Because one day, someday, soon. I think many times about the people in the nursing home. Those people that have been in church. Those precious saints of God. And I think one day they're going to have a new body. That excites me. That just does something to me. To think God's going to give them a new body. Everything that they've had to go through, I think I've been through stuff. That ain't nothing compared to what some other people have been through. That excites me. And to be able to look and as we're resurrected up, and as we're up, we're going to look and we're going to say, woo! I knew we were going to make it. We're going home. We're going home. We're going home. Oh, hallelujah. We're going home. Hallelujah. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Old song. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We can't feel at home in this world because we're not citizens of this land. We are citizens of a kingdom that is coming. Remember that. Remember that as you're watching the news and you get down, as you're scrolling through Facebook and you can't help but be by all the garbage that's on there. You know what I tell everybody? Turn it off. Turn it off. Go on your front porch, as I do from time to time when it's not cold, and sit there and just meditate on how good God is. Oh my goodness. The other night we was out on the porch and we was looking at the stars. My goodness. Every one of those stars God set in order. Every one of those stars God made shine so I could see it. They're millions and millions of light years or whatever far they are away. The moon is 93 million miles away from me, but yet I can see it. Isn't that amazing? God set it in order. Anybody that does commercial fishing will tell you that the moon sets the phases of the tides. The tides come in, the tides go out. You know why? Because God puts that moon in order. God sets the tides in order. And there's going to come a time where He's going to say, Gabriel, go ahead on and blow that trumpet. It's time. Oh, hallelujah. It's time. Hallelujah. I said, it's time. Hallelujah. I don't know when it's going to be, but I know we're one day closer now than we were yesterday. And I know that tomorrow, if I wake up, we'll be one day closer. We don't have anything to fear, child of God. We don't have anything to fear. There are some people that are so scared to death, and I'm just going to be brutally honest, of getting sick when Jesus is your healer. Come on, somebody. The devil's trying to deposit fear into your life. And he's trying to say, what if this? And what if that? And what if that? And he's trying to get us in a position to where we're backing up and we're saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. That is not our position. Our position is to be on the offensive and to say, you know what? We're marching in the army of God. This is the army and we're going somewhere. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I remember, and I'm closing, if I could have the musicians come up, the ones that are still here, if you could come up, I want to sing a song here in closing. But I can remember as a child, I was afraid of the dark. I still don't like the dark. I'm not the biggest fan of the dark. But, you know, we can always get a deep voice. And we can sing real deep when we're in the dark by ourselves. Y'all don't do that stuff. My boys know I don't like the dark. Turn the light on. We can see where we're going. You know? I don't like the dark, but I can remember as a child being in the dark. And as long as I would sing, I could feel the presence of the Lord with me. We're in a dark world. And you know what? Jesus is the light. So as long as I'm singing praises to Him, I know everything's going to be all right. Walt Mills sang a song that says, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. You know, sometimes we just need to hear that. It's going to be all right. Amen. The other day, and I'm closing here. The other day, I was going down the road, and you know, sometimes you just get, you know, it's like, woe is me. You get a little bit down, a little bit from time to time, because we're human. We are. I roll past the sign out in the middle of nowhere as I'm out delivering, and it just simply said, everything is going to be all right. And I started singing, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. You know why? Because I'm His child. Amen. Let me let you know a little secret. Us daddies, we take care of our children in ways they don't see. We come to them and say, hey, how much gas you got in that tank? You going to make it over in Germany? What you going to do? Yeah, Dad, I'm good. All right. You know, I found as being a father and they get older, you don't just go up to them and say, hey, you need 20 bucks? Because they always going to need 20 bucks. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah, now I'll take 20 bucks. You know? But, hey, are you good? Is everything good? Is everything all right? What do you need? What do you need, son? And he
Somebody needs to hear this. We communicate back and forth. It's not just a one-way street when you're talking to God. God wants to know what you need. He knows what you need, but He wants to hear you say it. I'm not talking about, God, I need a new Cadillac because them things are looking good. No. He's saying, what do you really need? God, I want you to take care of my family. I want you to watch over them because I can't always be there with them. I want you to protect them. I want you to meet every need. God, I know you're going to work everything out because you already have. God, I just want to love on you. Amen. And as we sing this song, if you have a need tonight, these altars are open. But I just want to sing the song Jesus. Just a real simple, I don't even know what key, good old gospel G probably. But it's just a simple song. And I just want you to worship Him tonight. Because you're a child of God. The Bible says that we can come boldly through the throne room of grace. Why? Because we have that right. Because we're a child of God. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget that there's a kingdom to come. Amen.
Never needed anything, they needed Jesus. Amen. This day and hour that we're living in, nothing else is going to suffice except a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus. I'm glad to be a child of the King, aren't you? And that was going over and over and over in my mind, that song, A Child of the King, as Brother Chris was bringing that anointed message tonight. Folks, we are very privileged, we're very blessed to have known the plan of salvation and to have accepted the Lord. But I tell you what, the harvest is white, is wide open. And I just pray for revival in this land. If you don't have anything to pray for yourself about, pray that God will move on souls. There's so many out there. I'm so afraid that they're just wasting this time away when they should need to be heeding the call and the ministers preaching this wonderful gospel of salvation that we are a part of that heavenly kingdom. How many's glad to be a part of the kingdom of God? May God bless you. We love you from the depths of our heart. Have a blessed week. Amen. And as Brother Chris said, instead of spending so much time declaring what's wrong, let's go to the one who makes everything all right. There's a song that says, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your word tonight, for the man to bring it to us, Lord. Pray, God, that we'll be obedient to that word. I pray, God, that you would move upon this man, upon this nation, God, upon so many people. God, we know, Lord, that you are a God of mercy, but we know, God, that you won't strive with man always. Father, I pray that many would heed your call, God, and come to an altar of repentance. Father, I ask you to bless us tonight. Go with us, lead us, and guide us, and direct us. Bless those who are sick, those who are in the hospitals, in nursing homes. Father, I pray that you would bless and anoint them. God, keep us safe from all harm and danger. We'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.